Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Department of Homeland Security and this committee were formed in response to the al-Qaeda attacks of September 11th. There is no equivalency of threat between al-Qaeda and neo-Nazis, environmental extremists, or other isolated madmen. Only al-Qaeda and its Islamist affiliates in this country are part of an international threat to our nation.
Hi, everybody. I'm not here to ask you to accept my friend request. But I did want to let you know that Michelle and I are hosting an important meeting at the White House on Thursday, and we want you to be a part of it.
We'll be talking with students, teachers, and parents about how to stop bullying and about the responsibility each of us has to make sure our children treat each other with respect.
Not one terror-related case in the last 2 years involved neo-Nazis, environmental extremists, militias, or anti-war groups.
Yeah, well, there's the beginning today. As you well know, today is the opening of the window onto radical Islam in the United States of America. And, of course, all of the usual suspects were out castigating Representative King for doing the job he was paid to do. As a matter of fact, I think that Representative King should be given a Nobel Peace Prize for having the guts, Peter King, for looking into radical Islam in the United States and their fellow travelers. Welcome to the Savage Nation. We're going to cover this today because there's been a media blackout of these hearings. I am used to the government media complex. I am used to NPR. I am used to C-SPAN blacking out news that's of importance to our survival. But I've never seen it hit this level as it did today. Here we have the most important hearings of my lifetime, and I mean that I've ever seen. Finally, we had a congressman with the guts to stand up to the radical Muslims in this country and their front groups. And it's not covered by C-SPAN, not covered by any of the networks, certainly not covered even by the cable networks. Then, shockingly, the party boy president holds a hearing on bullying in schools today to try to overpower and to cover up this peak at radical Islam in the United States of America. C-SPAN, as I say, is supposedly the people's network. No feed on Muslim radicalization. I think it was on C-SPAN 3, which I don't get. This is by a supposedly bipartisan organization. But we know that C-SPAN and its founder, Brian Lamb, are left-wingers of the lowest order. The fact of the matter is they cover many, many speeches. And we know that the blackout of the Muslim radicalization hearings today is part of a deliberate and calculated effort to weaken the defenses of the United States against radical Muslim terrorism and the attempt to install a Sharia law in this country. Now, while C-SPAN refused to give TV coverage to the King hearings, neither did CNN, MSNBC, or even Fox News. That's right. The left-wing media has again and again compared the King hearings of today to the McCarthy hearings of the 1950s. But listen very carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The McCarthy hearings of the 1950s happened to have been covered live on national television. Even though the media was liberal in the 1950s as well as it is today, they still realized they had a higher duty to patriotism, and they ran the hearings back in the 50s. This generation of cable news communists is so filled with hubris that they refuse even to give the opposition a forum. Now, because C-SPAN has blacked out the Muslim hearings today, because the cable networks, even Fox, has refused to air them, I feel I'm going to play major portions of the King hearings today on the Savage Nation, and much of what you will hear will be new to you, because it has been covered up by all major news outlets. It may not have been played on TV. It may not have been played by the golfer, blah, blah, blah. But we're going to do what we're supposed to do as the watchdogs for the American people. The first question I have for you today is this. Do you support or reject the hearings that Representative King is holding today on the radicalization of Muslims here in the United States of America? And if you do support the hearings or you oppose them, try to be rational as to why you hold those positions. Now, let's go to some of the people who actually testified today. The first one I'm going to play is the father of the radicalized American Muslim, Melvin Bledsoe. His son, Abdulhakim Mujahid Muhammad, a.k.a. Carlos Leon Bledsoe, went into a Little Rock recruiting center after training. Well, he started out as a normal kid in, well, let's listen to the father in clip 17.
We sent him off to college at Tennessee State University in Nashville, Tennessee, in the fall of 2003. Our dream about his future ended up in a nightmare. The next time Carlos came home, we saw another side of him that we didn't see before. During the night, he took off all the pictures from the walls of the bedroom where he slept. He even took off the picture of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. off the wall. We asked Carlos, "What is going on with you?" He replied that he is now a new convert to Islam and that everything he does from now on will be to honor Allah. All this was part of his brainwashing.
So that's the father of the radicalized American Muslim who grew up a normal American Christian kid, apparently in Tennessee, went to college, was poisoned. His mind was poisoned at college by various and sundry, and he converted to Islam. And then it got even crazier. As you well may remember, he opened fire with a rifle in a drive-by shooting on soldiers in front of a United States military recruiting office in Little Rock, Arkansas, in a jihad attack in 2009. He killed Private William Long. He wounded Private Quentin Ezeguala. And after his arrest, Muhammad acknowledged shooting the men. He told the police he intended to kill as many American Army personnel as he possibly could. He had an SKS rifle, a Mossberg International 702. He had two handguns, 562 rounds of ammunition, and military books in his car. Now, here it comes. He said that he had been sent by al-Qaeda to the Arabian Peninsula and that the attack was justified according to Islamic laws and the Islamic religion, jihad, to fight those who wage war in Islam and Muslims, close quote. He had recently returned from 16 months in Yemen, and it was the first of two gunfire attacks in 2009 on U.S. military facilities by Muslims with links to radical clerics in Yemen who were upset at U.S. military actions in Iraq and Afghanistan. The suspect, Abdulhakim Muhammad, previously known as Carlos Leon Bledsoe, was born on July 9, 1985. He graduated from Craigmont High School in Memphis, Tennessee in 2003 and attended Tennessee State University in Nashville, Tennessee for three semesters. Here comes the punchline. He converted to Islam in 2004 at the age of 19 at Masjid As-Salam, a Memphis mosque. And here's what he said. He said, "I've loved jihad ever since I became a Muslim," close quote. He became more religious and prayed regularly at the Islamic Center of Nashville, wearing Arab-style clothing. By 2007, he was a deeply religious Muslim and jihadist and had legally changed his name. Do you support or reject the hearings on Muslim radicalization? And I don't have to tell you where I stand on this because I have been attacked by CARE. I've been attacked by the British government for having the guts to stand up to this jihad against the United States of America years ago. And so as I say to you, I welcome these hearings. And the question I would ask Muslims is, what are you so afraid of? What have you got to hide? I would think of all groups in America, you'd want your religion cleared. You'd want to step forward and say, yes, we want to root out the small sliver of fanatics in our midst. Yes, we want to get rid of the imams in America who are preaching hatred. Yes, we are glad the United States wants to defend its freedoms because we live here. Because we love these freedoms. So do you support these hearings or do you reject these hearings? How do you feel about our party boy president talking instead today about bullying? That's the most astonishing part of it all. Because as far as I am concerned, that is the most absurd hearing I've ever heard in my entire life. I'm open for business. The phone number, as you well know, is 1-800-449-8255. Several brave Muslims spoke out today and, they can, their speeches or their an article about them can be seen on michaelsavage.com. There was a brave doctor who spoke out, Jasser. I think I've had him on the show over the years. And he said these hearings are long overdue. Witness at King hearing warns political fear stifling debate over radical Islam. Zudi Jasser, president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. There are other individuals, a young woman who wanted these hearings, but none of them were seen on CNN. Instead, they spent the whole day vilifying Representative Peter King, who I think should be given a Nobel Prize for Peace for having the guts to stand up to the Muslim lobbies in the United States of America. But then again, this is a talk show. It may be one man's opinion, but you are the millions out there with your own opinions. And if you want to sound off on these hearings and tell us exactly what you fear or what you object to or what you respect or what you salute, you know the phone number. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Today's hearing will be the first in a series of hearings dealing with the critical issue of the radicalization of Muslim Americans. I am well aware that the announcement of these hearings has generated considerable controversy and opposition. I remain convinced that these hearings must go forward, and they will. To back down would be a craven surrender to political correctness and an abdication of what I believe to be the main responsibility of this committee, to protect America from a terrorist attack.
Well, that's Representative King, who from New York, who I think should get a Nobel Prize for Peace for having the nerve to stand up to the Muslim pressure groups, both in the United States and abroad. And let us say, opening a window into radical Islam and why so many of the young seem to be radicalized in mosques in America. And the fact is that the parents themselves are concerned about it, as I showed you by playing the father of radicalized American Muslim Melvin Bledsoe, whose son went to college and came home a jihadist, went to a train in the Middle East and came back and killed American servicemen at a recruiting center in cold blood, like the coward he was, from a distance with a rifle. They were unarmed, by the way. Now, we're hearing from the usual suspects, mainly the vile ACLU and the pressure groups, that they're picking on one religious minority, and that's un-American. In fact, though, in the past, Congress has in fact held numerous hearings on ethnic subcultures that have spawned illegality, such as the Italian mob. I didn't hear the Italians coming out crying and screaming and breaking down in tears. They held hearings on Hispanic drug cartels. Didn't hear anybody crying and screaming when that was done. There have been hearings on black and white prison gangs. There have been hearings on white racists. There have been hearings on neo-Nazis. I didn't hear an entire orchestra of criers out there screaming about phobias of some kind. And so, therefore, this is an orchestrated campaign by the Council on American Islamic Relations, describing an FBI expert as a front for Hamas. This is a front. This is an orchestrated campaign by the ACLU, the Muslim Brotherhood, the Holy Land Foundation, etc. And I think King should be given a Nobel Prize for Peace for this. Lefty Lutfi in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm with King. And I'm a Muslim. I pray five times, and I fast, and I do everything in a mosque. And I'm with him on this one because there's a lot of stuff in mosque we don't like, and we need somebody from our people to do it. But as for our people, they're doing nothing. So go, King, go for it. Yes, we will.
You know, Lutfi, it's interesting that you called. I didn't think I'd get one Muslim calling, but we had several. I saw several Muslims rather speaking there who I was impressed with because they're taking a lot of risk in doing so. One woman sat in the front row. She said she's been a Muslim since she came here. Her whole family has been peace-loving. But whenever she's raised the issue in a mosque about some of the hate she's hearing coming out of the imam's mouth, she said they've been vilified by the community. They're no longer invited to potluck dinners at their mosque. And they're looked upon with anger by people in the mosque. Is this something that happens to you?
You know, I did confront one of the imam one time, and I told him, if I want to hear what he just said right there, I could open the 1010 windows and I hear the news. We're here just to, listen to the Quran, and that's all. I don't want to hear any politics when I'm praying.
You know, it's very interesting. Now, this is the most essential point of the hearings. Most religions are apolitical in the United States of America. I mean, I've been in churches and synagogues my entire life. It is true that in the liberal branches of Christianity and Judaism, they have blurred the line between religion and politics. I don't find that in the Orthodox, rather the fundamentalist Christian churches. I never found that in the Orthodox Jewish communities. they generally are apolitical. They never bring it in there. They do the Bible, and God. They never do politics. In fact, they're religious about not doing politics, to be frank with you.
You know, if a man interrupts you, too much of everything is too much sometimes. So, my community or the Muslim community, they need to do more. They need to be more open. And the parents, especially the parents, they supposed to sit and talk with their kids because kids.
Are these mainly foreign-born imams who are coming in and poisoning the flock?
I say yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, let's let it go at that. I don't want to, you know, have you on the spot here. 1-800-449-8255. Chris in New York, welcome from WOR. Go ahead, please.
What are we accomplishing by these hearings? Nothing. What are we accomplishing?
What do you mean? Well, we're talking about the dangers of radical Islam. What do you mean nothing?
So what are we accomplishing by doing that?
Well, what are we not accomplishing by finding out what's going on inside the mosques?
It's what we need our politicians to do. It's a waste of money and a waste of time.
What do you mean it's a waste of money? What are you talking about? The man is on the Homeland Security Committee.
What are we going to have after these hearings are over? The same thing we had yesterday.
Do you know that though Muslims represent less than 1% of the American population, they constitute defendants in 186 of the 228 cases the Justice Department lists? Doesn't that worry you?
Tell me what these hearings are accomplishing. Please tell me.
Do you know that more than 80% of all convictions tied to international terrorist groups and homegrown terrorism since 9/11 involve defendants driven by a radical Islamist agenda? Doesn't that bother you?
That does bother me, but I don't see anything coming out of these hearings.
What do you mean you don't see anything coming out of the hearings? First, you have to have a discussion of why this is happening in the mosques. Don't you think that's valid?
So tell me what Representative King is going to accomplish by these hearings. Tell me what
he will help people like the caller I just had to have the courage to stand up to the Muslims who are coming into their mosques and preaching hatred. Maybe it will empower the moderate Muslims to realize they're not alone. Doesn't that strike you as a valid thing to do?
Very valid. However.
All right. Well, thanks for agreeing with me. I knew you eventually would. Once you had a chance to think about it. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
The overwhelming majority of Muslim Americans are outstanding Americans and make enormous contributions to our country. But there are realities we can't ignore. For instance, the Pew poll, which said that 15% of Muslim American men between the age of 18 and 29 could support suicide bombings. This is the segment of the community Al-Qaeda is attempting to recruit.
We're talking about the hearings today that have been completely blacked out by the Soviet American media, which is shocking. I mean, I woke up looking forward to hearing it. I wanted to see what was going on there, and it was blacked out on all the channels. It was blacked out on C-SPAN, which I'd expect from that shrimp, that left-wing fanatic Brian Lamb, who should be defunded and take a job at NPR where he belongs, or better yet, the Aspen Institute. And so I feel it's my obligation as a broadcaster to play some of the sound bites from the hearings and to discuss it with you. And I'm asking you, are you for or against these hearings? And if so, why? That's all. That's what I'd like to hear. Let's go to New York. W.O.R. Rooney, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I agree with you in applauding the courage of Peter King, without a doubt. But it seems to me that these tears were staged. And this is what.
Wait, hold on. What tears?
You've got a Muslim congressman who the mainstream media refers to, listen to these words closely, the first Muslim congressman. Not
right.
The one or the only, but the first. See the words? Mm-hmm. But anyway, he cries.
Yeah, I heard that, and I thought it was absurd. Let's play Democrat Minnesota Keith Ellison, the Muslim congressman, breaking into tears today at 15.
Mohammed Salman Hamdani was a 23-year-old paramedic, a New York City police cadet, and Muslim American. He was one of those brave first responders who tragically lost his life in 9/11 terrorist attacks almost a decade ago. Mr. Hamdani bravely sacrificed his life to try to help others on 9/11. After the tragedy, some people tried to smear his character solely because of his Islamic faith.
Now, let's stop right here. This man is not qualified to be a congressman, as far as I'm concerned. Now, it is true that there are others who break down in tears at the drop of a pink tie. We know that John Boehner's a crier. We know that on the Republican side, there's a lot of cries, which shows you the rampant use of medication in Congress. But that's a topic for another day. Here's the question I have for Keith Ellison, who broke into tears talking about Mohammed Habdani, who died on 9/11 nearly 10 years ago. Did you know him? You didn't know him. You didn't know him. Why are you crying about a man you didn't know? Why are you crying only about a Muslim who died 10 years ago? Why aren't you crying for the 3,000 or so Americans who died? Aren't you giving something away here, Congressman Ellison? I found this whole thing to be very poor theater, by the way, Rooney, didn't you?
Well, he's just another Al Franken, another actor who got into the legislature. I mean, you asked the right questions. Did you know this man? Was he your brother, your blood brother? Was he your cousin?
He was crying as though it was his brother who died. He, I mean, all of a sudden he's crying over a guy who died 10 years ago who he never met. It doesn't ring true to me.
Well, I'm impressed with this.
Now, let's not go into an area that I'm going to regret you said something, because, you know, thus far I'm conducting a very balanced coverage today, and I don't want to now broaden it out into biases that I'm not going to be able to live with. Okay, so let's let it go with that. Mike in New York on WOR, go ahead, please.
Michael, I'm a teacher in New York. I teach children in the homes. I have 10-year-old Muslim children confiding in me that in their schools they are taught to hate Americans. Their teachers tell them Americans hate you, don't trust them, don't believe them. And when I hear this, it's shocking. All I can do is I respond to them. I said, don't believe them. Your teachers are liars. That's not the truth.
Well, you ought to report child abuse. Of course, it wouldn't go anywhere in the politically cowarded New York City public school system. But to me, teaching children that kind of insanity is child abuse. Those children should be taken away from their parents.
Well, they send them to these Muslim schools, and that's what they're getting.
I know what they're getting. That's why the hearings are being held, because we understand what the 400-pound gorilla is and what it's saying. And the 400-pound gorilla has finally been slightly exposed, and boy, are they screaming. They're screaming louder than you can imagine, and many Muslims are saying it's long overdue, because they don't want their children turned into jihadists. They like America. They came here to get away from the throwbacks in the old world. And the last thing they want to do is wake up to a child who becomes a throwback. That's all, in plain English. Now, here's an interesting thing. Let's take Libya, for example, to show you the biases in the media and in the world community. Here's Gaddafi using airplanes and tanks to kill his own citizens. Not one word from the United Nations. Fires a rubber bullet, there's 18 UN commissions. If an Israeli fires a rubber bullet, it bounces off a wall and hits a Palestinian. I am so sick of this double talk. And just last week, Louis Farrakhan gave a speech where he denied that Gaddafi was killing his own citizens. But worse yet, Louis Farrakhan, the leader of a very large and powerful group called the Nation of Islam, said that the Jews in America are the devil and that he needs to root out Satan. Did you hear that speech? That's what should have been played here today. But you didn't hear that played. Everyone forgot that one. Okay? You want to play Farrakhan? Play it now. Let him hear it on the Savage Nation.
Say, look, we got a chance. Gaddafi's weak now. Let's send Hillary to Switzerland and get the United Nations to come on board so we can give a military response. So they're building up all this killing. But you don't really know that that's true, do we? That's what they're saying. Some of it could be, but hell, you got to check a devil. You got to check a liar, and you don't have the means by which to check them, because you're a slave to the corporate media of America.
Mm-hmm. This is in America Today, Nation of Islam. Now, I want you to get the piece, Phil, where he sounds just like Joseph Goebbels at a rally in Munich in the late 1930s. Do we have that one where he vilifies Jews? Because that's
now,
the important.
President Obama, if you allow the Zionists to push you to mount a military offensive against Gaddafi, and you go in and kill him, as you did with Saddam Hussein.
Is that today with sound bites? But anyway, it was very anti-Semitic, and not one Jewish group said one word about it. They refused to even acknowledge the hate that came out of Farrakhan's mouth. Instead, they talked about Charlie Sheen. That shows you what trouble we're in this country when the media is completely gone. Don't think I'm enjoying doing this today, and don't think I don't realize the risk I'm taking and even broadcasting the hearings when it's been blacked out even by Murdoch's Fox News. They didn't run much of it. I saw almost none of it. I couldn't believe my ears. I woke up looking to hear it. I wanted to hear for myself whether these hearings going to be as hot as they said, as important, were there going to be protests, what was the other side saying. I was sensitive to the fact that a minority group would feel picked on by hearings emphasizing their religion. I wanted to hear some rational argument about that. I didn't hear any of it because nobody ran it. And so I feel it's my obligation to get you some sound and have a discussion here on the Savage Nation, which I'm trying to do, and I hope that you appreciate it. Let's listen to clip 8, Representative Peter King.
Responsible Muslim American leaders must reject discredited groups such as CAIR, the Committee on Islamic American Relations. CAIR was named as an unindicted co-conspirator in the terrorist financing case involving the Holy Land Foundation.
Oh, good for you. You seem to be the only member of Congress who knows this. Where are the others? What are they doing? What are they busy working on? Bullying? What is this with bullying? Where did this come from? Today? The day that we have hearings on radical Islam in America? The Obamas go on the air and talk about bullying? It's crazy. It's totally crazy. Listen to clip 30.
For a long time, bullying was treated as an unavoidable part of growing up. But more and more, we're seeing how harmful it can be for our kids, especially when it follows them from their school to their phone to their computer screen. The good news is that there's a growing movement to make our schools and communities places where no one is made to feel alone or afraid for being different.
Oh, come on. How can we live in a country like this with a party animal in the White House? He sounds like a child. Talking about bullying on a day like today? I've never seen anything like this. How did this happen? How did it happen that childhood itself is now considered a disease by the CDC that needs to be medicated? Childhood itself ought to be put on under the microscope. Maybe just being a child now is considered a disease to the Obamas, and they need to be medicated. 13 million children have been bullied. I was bullied my entire childhood. So what? That's how I learned how to be a man. You stand up to bullies. What do you mean? What's with the bullying? Frankly, as far as I'm concerned, I think Obama is bullying America. You talk about a bully. Chicago, Ravi, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I think you're so brave for sticking your neck out how you're doing. You're one of the only ones doing it. I'm a conservative Jewish television writer from Los Angeles. And to thank you, I want to give you an early birthday gift, and I want to buy 100 copies of Trickle Down, and you can donate them to whoever you think deserves them. And when your next book comes out, I want to do the same. Buy 100 copies of that and have you pass them out to whoever you think should have them.
You don't have to do that, Ravi. Honest to God, it's not necessary. You know, if you want to do something on a mile level, go to michaelsavage.com. There's a click there, you know, to the legal fund. I'm facing hundreds of thousands of dollars in bills after 2 years fighting the British government. I'm spinning my wheels, but I'm not going to quit until my name is taken from that list. I was put on that list to balance the list of Muslim terrorists in England. So I have faced this on a very minor scale. The soldier who died fighting radical Muslims is the real hero here. The unknown soldier from Iraq and Afghanistan who has no legs and no arms and no eyes. That's the real hero. They're the ones who see the tip of the sword of Allah. Not me and not you. But the American people are such morons and such sissies, they don't even want to face their enemy. But believe me, the day is going to come that the enemy will face them. The enemy is everywhere. The enemy has said that we're their enemy. The enemy has spit on us because they think we're weak. The enemy has said, you're nothing. We'll roll you over. We'll use all of the stunts of the ACLU. We know the tricks. We know how to use the laws of civil rights to invade your country. We know how to use the Trojan horse to invade your country and take you over. I know what's going on, Ravi. Trust me, I know.
Can I tell you one thing?
Yes.
Michael, first of all, London Bridge is falling down. Look at the country. And I want to say something about you and the rest of the media really quickly. Nobody, Michael, will utter your name but they have no problem stealing your utterances.
Well, that's okay. That's the greatest form of flattery. You know, I understand that. I don't even look for it anymore, Ravi. I know many of them listen to this show, but they're a bunch of cowards. They're moral cowards, every last one of them. I don't need their help, Ravi. I'm glad just to have my own show. But I want to say this, Ravi, to everyone else. Again, let's not make it about me. I was banned from entering the United Kingdom. My name was put on a list with radical, murderous, killing Muslims and skinhead terrorists in Russia. And all I did was say things that were true. And they were taken out of context, I believe, by Media Matters, a group funded by George Soros. They targeted me, Michael Savage. And as a result of being put on the list, my life has been turned upside down. I've never been the same. And I've been fighting it for 2 years, and I continue to fight. I will fight it. And it's just the way it has to be. But, Robbie, I'm going to be 69 years old, God willing, at the end of this month. I say that for a couple of reasons. I don't want people to think that I'm some young, stupid firebrand looking to make a name for myself or just looking for trouble. You know, how many years does a person have on this earth, right? 40 and 10? Or is it 60 and 10? What does the Bible say, Ravi?
Let me pull it out. I have to quote the Torah for you, actually.
It's 60 and 10, which is 70. Isn't that what it is? A score is 20?
Yeah, about
all right.
That.
So you know. Biblically, you know, basically they're telling me I've completed my lifespan. I hope it's not true. I come from a very short-lived father line, paternal line, 47, 57, 46. So to me, this is a miracle that I've even lived this long. And the fact of the matter is, although my mother lived to 88, she was my mother, not my father. So what I'm saying is, I don't know. Does anyone really know when the final clock stops for them? Does anyone really know the clock's ticking inside of them and when they come to an end? We don't know that. So I feel that the truth is my greatest salvation and that the truth shall set me free and everyone listening to the show. The truth is the greatest drug on earth. Do you know that, Ravi?
Absolutely. You know what else, Michael? If I say this to other Jews listening, please give to the cause for banned in Britain. And also, if we don't start speaking up, the Muslims get control. It's going to be like shooting gefilte fish in a barrel. Trust me.
Ravi, I am sorry to tell you, and I don't want to get into this on the air. The Jewish community has been the greatest disappointment to me. I wrote to several leaders, so-called. They turned out to be nothing but scared little rabbit politicians. They would not even respond to my letter. They are worthless. They are politicians of the lowest order. I could see how the Holocaust occurred in Germany because it was the same kind of organizational leaders within the Jewish community that looked the other way when Hitler said, "Don't bother. Trust me, it'll be fine." You think I don't see it and smell it? I can feel it, Ravi.
Oh, of course. Of course. Thank God, Michael, that you're doing this. I don't know who else would. And I want to make a big donation.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's start with the hearings were only held today. I'm sure that you'll hear some of it tomorrow on radio. I would pray to God someone will run it, don't you?
Yep. I hope. You know, Michael, since I've been listening to you, I do a lot of ghostwriting for politicians. And there's a couple who I was close friends with who are way to the left. I don't want to say their name or you'll hang up on me. And it was only because I was friends with them. But in the last 4 years, listening to you, I couldn't even write it if I wore a hazmat suit. I couldn't write for these guys anymore because I know how critical it is now. You've had that much of an effect.
Very interesting. You know, Ravi, you're making a very important phone call. I'll tell you, I don't know who you are. If you'd like to be in touch with me so we can correspond, maybe there's a role that you can play in my radio show as a writer or something to that effect. I don't have any writers, but, you know, there's always room for somebody with a brain. Ravi, I will have my staff give you my email, or I'll get yours, and we'll communicate. Thank you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Department of Homeland Security and this committee were formed in response to the al-Qaeda attacks of September 11th. There is no equivalency of threat between al-Qaeda and neo-Nazis, environmental extremists, or other isolated madmen. Only al-Qaeda and its Islamist affiliates in this country are part of an international threat to our nation. Not one terror-related case in the last 2 years involved neo-Nazis, environmental extremists, militias, or anti-war groups. The overwhelming majority of Muslim Americans are outstanding Americans and make enormous contributions to our country. But there are realities we can't ignore. For instance, the Pew poll, which said that 15% of Muslim American men between the age of 18 and 29 could support suicide bombings. This is the segment of the community Al-Qaeda is attempting to recruit.
Well, God bless Peter King. He should be getting a Nobel Prize for having the guts to stand up to the Muslim fanatics and their front groups in this country. And it was not covered. The media blackout is the biggest shock to me, and it shows you the bias. The government media complex that I've been talking about since 98 is more powerful than it has ever been, more painfully powerful than it's ever been at that. And the government media complex is frighteningly dangerous right now in America. When C-SPAN itself will not cover a hearing of this importance, I ask you, what the heck good is C-SPAN? We don't want to see old congressmen dozing off at night giving meaningless speeches. We want to see a hearing that has meaning to our survival. And yet they wouldn't even cover that. You wouldn't expect this from NPR. We know who they are. You would expect it from Fox News. They didn't cover it. We know why. We know why Fox News is soft on this whole issue, because 19% of News Corporation is owned by a Saudi prince. This is a very well-known public fact. And once you know that 20% of the stock of News Corporation is owned by a Saudi prince, it explains a lot of the behavior of Leprechaun, Wallbanger, and Blackboard. That's all. Pittsburgh, Don, you're on the. I don't have the time in this hour. We'll get to you in the next hour. We are talking about the hearings today on radical Islam and its threats in the United States of America. We've heard some of the sound. We're going to have the controversy continuing when I come back. And the phone number, you know, 1-800-449-8255. Much of this is on michaelsavage.com. And I invite you to listen and call in the next hour, because we have sound you've not yet heard that will alarm you, as it should, and finally rip the mask off the devil.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The overwhelming majority of Muslim Americans are outstanding Americans and make enormous contributions to our country. But there are realities we can't ignore. For instance, the Pew poll, which said that 15% of Muslim American men between the age of 18 and 29 could support suicide bombings. This is the segment of the community Al-Qaeda is attempting to recruit.
Hi, everybody. I'm not here to ask you to accept my friend request, but I did want to let you know that Michelle and I are hosting an important meeting at the White House on Thursday. And we want you to be a part of it.
We'll be talking with students, teachers, and parents about how to stop bullying and about the responsibility each of us has to make sure our children treat each other with respect.
Mr. Hamdani bravely sacrificed his life to try to help others on 9/11. After the tragedy, some people tried to smear his character solely because of his Islamic faith.
All right, cut it out already. Cut the. You know, we saw Charlie Sheen the other night, Congressman. Just cut it out. Welcome to the Savage Nation. It's a day of theater. No question about it. You've got the most important hearings in my lifetime being held, blacked out by C-SPAN, by that little shrimp, Brian Lamb, who ought to be ashamed of himself. They ought to cut his funding off along with NPR, that little bum. And then you've got Fox won't cover it. None of the networks will cover it. And I haven't heard it yet on the radio. All right, it was earlier in the day. Maybe you'll hear it tomorrow on the Banger or on Golf. Golfy might squeeze it in between his inanities. But the fact is, I'm playing his sound bites from the most important hearings of my life, which are hearings about radical Islam and their inroads in America, particularly in some of the more radical mosques. And I'm going to play sound for you in a moment from a father who lost a son to radical Islam. He himself is a man from Tennessee, I believe, whose son went off to college, joined a mosque, became a radical, went to the Middle East and came back a murderer, and shot U.S. troops at a recruiting center who were unarmed in cold blood and said he would have killed as many as he could because the Quran, he was told, tells him it's okay to kill according to the law. Now, this is what the father said, not what I'm telling you. The father of the son said it himself. Mr. Bledsoe, we're going to play that, father of radicalized American Muslim Melvin Bledsoe, testifying at today's congressional hearing. Well, listen to it yourself. Clip 17.
We sent him off to College of Tennessee State University in Nashville, Tennessee, in the fall of 2003. Our dream about his future ended up in a nightmare. The next time Carlos came home, we saw another side of him that we didn't see before. During the night, he took off all the pictures from the walls of the bedroom where he slept. He even took off the picture of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. off the wall. We asked Carlos, "What is going on with you?" He replied that he is now a new convert to Islam and that everything he does from now on will be to honor Allah. All this was part of his brainwashing.
All of this is part of his brainwashing, which is, I think, a very important speech, testimony, at the hearings today. And what shocks me is the blackout in the media and the attempt to cover it up completely by the Obamas talking about bullying, which is absurd. Absolutely absurd. I've never seen anything like this. You talk about Soviet-era propaganda. Under Obama, it's reached a new high. I can tell you that right now. They are absolute Soviet-like in their operational behaviors. I've never seen anything quite like this. To hold hearings on bullying unto itself is absurd, in my opinion, since bullying, and by the way, I was a victim of bullying my entire life as a child. I'm still a victim of bullying because I'm an outspoken conservative, and I'm bullied by the liberals in the media. Incidentally, but I don't cry about it. I stand up for myself and express myself. That's what you do. But to hold hearings on a day that you're holding hearings on a threat to our national security is a complete breach of his responsibilities as commander-in-chief, which is laughable unto itself. So I have an obligation to give you this information from this hearing. But the hero today is Representative Peter King, who was vilified by the vermin in the media, attacked repeatedly by the lowlifes on CNN especially, that Dana Bash, should be sent back to Brooklyn to run a seltzer shop after what she tried to do to him. And the Washington pollution from the Washington Post, they've been running a nonstop echo chamber of hatred against Representative King before the hearings even began. They conducted a jihad against King. Again, nothing but left-wing filth day and night. And so the fact of the matter is I have an obligation as a broadcaster to use this valuable time and these valuable airwaves to broadcast sound bites from the hearings, give you my opinion, and take your opinion. That's all. Elaine in New York on WOR, what's your opinion?
Michael, my opinion is that you are a hero to us people, and we need some heroes nowadays.
I'm not a hero. I'm an American who happens to have a microphone. I've had it for 17 years this March 24th. I hope I'll have it another 17 years, but that's not in my hands. The hearings are important. How could they be blacked out by all the media? How is it possible we could be living in an America where there's a media blackout like this? How is it possible?
Living in times of biblical proportion, and you, in that way, too, to me, are a modern-day prophet. Because we need this information. We're not getting it. We need to know what's going on. You give us that.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you tune into WOR New York to get it. I thank them for carrying the show and every other affiliate in America. How this could be blacked out is a black eye for all media in America. I will never forget this day as long as I live, and neither should you. You should never, ever forget what Fox News did today, covering every inanity except this. You'd expect this from the left-wing rats at CNN. Would you expect C-SPAN not to cover this? Could you believe that, Elaine? That little shrimp, Brian Lamb, that communist fellow traveler, would have the nerve to do that today?
That's how deep it goes, and that's the scary part. And as scary as it is, we still count on you to give us this. We need to know.
All right, well, I'm giving it to you. So we're going to play the sound. And now let's jump domestically for a minute to another domestic story. Wisconsin, have you seen the face of the teachers? Have you seen the face of these teachers? What a disgrace it is. Now you understand why our children's minds are poisoned in this country. When you see the face of hatred, the face of anarchy, and the absolutely unacceptable behavior on the part of these overpaid state workers. If it was me and I was the governor, I'd fire them yesterday. I would hire substitute teachers and give them all permanent jobs and let them go get a job in the real world. They don't like it? Get out of here. You're a disgrace, teachers in Wisconsin. That's what I would say to them. Now, let's go back to the callers on the Savage Nation, because I have many good ones. What do you feel about this today? Tom in Chicago, you're up on the Savage Nation from WIND. Go ahead, please.
Michael, you kept my blood boiling playing that Farrakhan and Obama. I'd about drive my truck off the road if you'd have thrown in a little bit of Jesse Jackson or something.
Oh, don't get me started with that outside agitator.
Oh,
everywhere there's a problem, he's there to stir the pot.
The relationship.
What the heck is Jesse Jackson doing in Wisconsin? What is he from, Milwaukee?
It's a joke, but the relationship that they're trying to put.
But is he the beard that made Milwaukee famous?
Yeah, that's what he's there for. But no, the relationship with this, they're trying to say this is like the McCarthy hearings, and it's like it is. It's like the McCarthy hearings. They covered up and they rewrote history on McCarthy hearings because he was right, and that's why we were infiltrated.
I will tell you again, first of all, as I said earlier, they say McCarthy was a bad guy. Let's start with the top. They called him Tail Gunner Joe as though it was a deficit. He was an American war hero. You know that, don't you?
That's right.
The guy had the guts to be a tail gunner in World War II, and the vermin in the media had the nerve to turn that into a deficit, by the way, which they try to do to a representative down in Florida, who you know I've had on the show many times, whose name escapes me right now. I'm just, my mind is so flooded with information. But Representative, who we're talking about, I'm sorry, I'm so tired from this right now. I'm very, very tired. I've lost track of what I'm saying. I'm sorry, this is the first time it's happened to me in a long time. I'm very exhausted from it. But the fact of the matter is, Senator McCarthy in the 50s is who we're talking about. It turns out he was saying there were communists in the government, there were communists in the media, and they were very high up, and they were conducting propaganda wars in America. It turned out that he was vilified by the left wingers in those days, but he turned out he was right. How do I know he was right, that there were communists who had infiltrated Hollywood and had infiltrated the government? I don't have a bias in this matter. I'm an American who grew up and just looks at things. Years ago, 10 years ago, a book came out called The Venona Papers, V-E-N-O-N-A, written by ex-Soviet KGB agents who confirmed that everything McCarthy had said was true. They had operatives and fellow travelers in Hollywood, and they had them in the U.S. government. That's what you're referring to, correct, Tom?
That's right, and it's going to be the same thing. They'll cover this up, they'll whitewash it, and we'll end up with Muslims running the country, which is what they want. And I wouldn't be too surprised if it was in a coordinated effort between the communists that are in our government and the Muslims.
Well, you say we're going to wind up with Muslims running the country? I beg to differ with you. Who is the president of the United States?
Yeah.
Allegedly he's a Christian, but let's give him the benefit of the doubt. I would say he's half Muslim and half Christian. I don't think that's an invalid statement. Do you?
No, I would say...
I mean, if a guy went to a madrasas in Indonesia, there's nothing wrong with it if he learned the peaceful beauty of the Quran. So let's give him the credit that credit is due. It's allegedly a wonderful, beautiful religion. Most Muslims are moderate. So we have a moderate, half Muslim, half Christian president. What's wrong with that statement? Is that inaccurate?
Well, yeah, because I'd say he leans a lot more towards the Muslim, and it's a myth that the Quran is peaceful.
Well, okay, but you know and I know, and I've covered this from day one. I can open up the Old Testament, and I can show you murder and hatred in every page, particularly I forget the passages. Again, I don't want to misquote. I read the Bible up and back, and believe me, you know, you shall kill this one, you shall kill that one. The problem for us today is that most Christians and Jews have gone through a reformation in their religious views. This is not true for most of Islam around the world. That's the problem. They have not gone through a reformation at all. They have not modified the statements of the origins, of the originators of their holy text.
That's right.
Okay, thanks for the call. Look, I'll ask you a question on the Savage Nation. Are you for or against these hearings? I'd like a rational answer. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We're talking about the media blackout today of the most important hearings on national security, I would think, in my lifetime. I don't know of others. I don't remember any. Correct me if I'm wrong. You have a hearing today on radical Islam in America. You have a parent from Tennessee whose son went to college, was converted to Islam at a local mosque, became a fanatic, went to the Middle East and came back a murderer, saying these hearings are very important. This is what should be on television. Instead, we saw the naked face of the communists in the media, the worst, the absolute worst being CNN's Dana Bash, who should be thrown off television for what she did. Listen to clip 24.
Homeland Security Chairman Peter King preparing for his hearing on what he calls radicalization of Muslims in America, to some akin to Joseph McCarthy's 1950s communist witch hunt.
That Peter King is the modern day Joseph McCarthy.
I would say, first of all, there's
let's
basis
stop
for
right here. I'm showing you what they did. These rats, these media, these left-wing rats had the nerve to take a congressman with the guts to stand up to the Muslim lobbies. And instead of holding him up on a pedestal, they try to rip him down and turn him into an enemy of America. It shows you the desperate straits that the country is in. We're broke financially. We're broke on a national security level. We have no leadership at the highest level. We have a party boy in the White House. We have nobody at the top of the military command who has the guts to even name the enemy, even though the enemy has named us as their enemy. Worthless wherever you turn. Worthless empty suits. The hollow men and the hollow women, it stinks to high heaven. So finally, a congressman stands up with the brains and the guts to say, hey, someone's got to do this. And right away, the left-wing rats go into overdrive. You can hear them chattering from their little mousetraps. It's unbelievable to me what I have to do for a living here. And people say, well, why do you do it? Why do you put yourself out? Who's doing it for you today? Where have you heard any of the hearing today? Has anyone played any of this? I haven't heard it. I can't find it anywhere. I'm looking at Fox, everything but this. There's the Fox News for you. 19% owned by a Saudi prince. That explains why they're soft on the Islam question. Yes, even Muslims support these hearings. Even American Muslims who are sick and tired of what they're hearing in their mosques are even calling this show and saying, you know, I'm glad we're having these hearings. We hear it, and we try to tell them to stop it in the mosques, and they won't do it. They're bringing them in from the Middle East, and they've got poison disseminating in these mosques. And that's what we need to hear. And we need to have the moderate Muslims be empowered to stand up and say, no, not in my name. Not in my name, you're not going to disgrace this religion. No, in my name, you're going to get this hate out of the temple. You're going to get it out of this temple, or I'm not coming here again. And I'm not going to go into this place if you continue to do this. And this is what these hearings will do. They're going to empower the masses of Muslim women in this country who do not want to wind up in a burqa and don't want to wind up living in the 15th century. Am I right or wrong for playing these hearings today? I know I'm right. In my heart, I know I'm right. But what do you think? What do you think these hearings accomplish? They accomplish an awful lot in my mind. Let's go to New York. Carrie, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, God bless you, Dr. Savage, and thank you for Radio Free America. And thank my brother for having me tune into you 9 years ago. I voted for Congressman King in the past. I actually almost physically carried my father to the voting booth in the last election. I called his office not long ago to commend him for his powers and bravery, for taking this to the level that it should have been taken 2 years ago. What we have now in the country, and you're well aware, you've mentioned in the past, you know, there's fifth columns amongst us. This is just...
Yep, absolutely. The fourth estate has become the fifth column. One of my greatest quotes, the fourth estate being the media, has become the fifth column, the enemy itself. Now, I want to tell you something. Representative King has been invited on the show over the years. He would never appear on this show, so don't think he's a big friend of mine. And yet I said today he was doing a great job. I'm that kind of personality. I don't hold grudges against people who are doing the right thing. I don't care whether they come on the show. See, if they're doing the right thing, I respect them. If they're doing the wrong thing, I don't respect them. So he's no friend of mine. He's no friend of the Savage Nation in that regard. We're not one in, well, wrapped up in the same little club here. When I come back, I have a real treat for you. You better call every friend you know. We have a piece of history that's about to be played in the Savage Nation that you're not going to believe. I've been saving it for right now. You're going to be rewarded in just a few minutes.
Savage.
Savage. So as I said to you, we're going to play something for you now that you should, I try to record it. It's about Muslim demographics that we got from YouTube. I believe it's accurate in every way. Listen.
According to research, in order for a culture to maintain itself for more than 25 years, there must be a fertility rate of 2.11 children per family. With anything less, the culture will decline. Historically, no culture has ever reversed a 1.9 fertility rate. A rate of 1.3, impossible to reverse, because it would take 80 to 100 years to correct itself, and there is no economic model that can sustain a culture during that time. In other words, if two sets of parents each have one child, there are half as many children as parents. If those children have one child, then there are one-fourth as many grandchildren as grandparents. If only 1 million babies are born in 2006, it's hard to have 2 million adults enter the workforce in 2026. As the population shrinks, so does the culture. As of 2007, the fertility rate in France was 1.8, England 1.6, Greece 1.3, Germany 1.3, Italy 1.2, Spain 1.1. Across the entire European Union of 31 countries, the fertility is a mere 1.38. Historical research tells us these numbers are impossible to reverse. In a matter of years, Europe as we know it will cease to exist. Yet the population of Europe is not declining. Why? Immigration. Islamic immigration. Of all population growth in Europe since 1990, 90% has been Islamic immigration. France, 1.8 children per family. Muslims, 8.1. In southern France, traditionally one of the most populated church regions in the world, there are now more mosques than churches. 30% of children ages 20 and younger are Islamic. In the larger cities such as Nice, Marseille, and Paris, that number has grown to 45%. By 2027, 1 in 5 Frenchmen will be Muslim. In just 39 years, France will be an Islamic republic. In the last 30 years, the Muslim population of Great Britain rose from 82,000 to 2.5 million, a 30-fold increase. There are over 1,000 mosques, many of them former churches. In the Netherlands, 50% of all newborns are Muslim. And in only 15 years, half of the population of the Netherlands will be Muslim. In Russia, there are over 23 million Muslims. That's 1 out of 5 Russians. 40% of the entire Russian army will be Islamic in just a few short years. Currently in Belgium, 25% of the population and 50% of all newborns are Muslim. The government of Belgium has stated 1/3 of all European children will be born to Muslim families by 2025, just 17 years away. The German government, the first to talk about this publicly, recently released a statement saying, "The fall in the German population can no longer be stopped. Its downward spiral is no longer reversible. It will be a Muslim state by the year 2050. Muammar al-Gaddafi of Libya said, "There are signs that Allah will grant victory to Islam in Europe without swords, without guns, without conquest. We don't need terrorists. We don't need homicide bombers. The 50-plus million Muslims in Europe will turn it into a Muslim continent within a few decades." There are currently 52 million Muslims in Europe. The German government said that number is expected to double in the next 20 years to 104 million. Closer to home, the numbers tell a similar story. Right now, Canada's fertility rate is 1.6, nearly a full point below what is required to sustain a culture. And Islam is now the fastest growing religion. Between 2001 and 2006, Canada's population increased by 1.6 million, 1.2 of those immigration. In the United States, the current fertility rate of American citizens is 1.6. With the influx of the Latino nations, the rate increases to 2.11, the bare minimum required to sustain a culture. In 1970, there were 100,000 Muslims in America. Today, there are over 9 million. The world is changing. It's time to wake up. 3 years ago, a meeting of 24 Islamic organizations was held in Chicago. The transcripts of that meeting showed in detail their plans to evangelize America through journalism, politics, education, and more. They said, "We must prepare ourselves for the reality that in 30 years, there will be 50 million Muslims living in America. The world that we live in is not the world in which our children and grandchildren will live." The Catholic Church recently reported that Islam has just surpassed their membership numbers. Some studies show that at Islam's current rate of growth, in 5 to 7 years, it will be the dominant religion of the world.
Well, how do you like that? That didn't come out at the hearings, but I thought I would find it for you so you recognize that behind these hearings is a very serious threat. Now you say, well, what's wrong with it? It's like every other religion. All right, well, you want to say that? That's your attitude. Let's look at the systemic reason for the population decline in America. There was a time when people got married and had children. That time is over. And concurrent with the Muslim immigration and the large families that Muslims tend to have, God bless them, to their credit, we have a Caucasian race that is dying out, owing primarily to the following factors: the sexual revolution of the 60s, the feminist movement, birth control, and, of course, liberalism itself, which says if it feels good, do it. Why have the responsibility of a child? Why ruin your body? If it feels good, do it. Consequently, we have a dying population. Now, you may say this is God's will. You could look at it from a religious point of view. Well, not religious, I would say from a cosmic point of view, and say, you know what? God likes humanity. God doesn't want the human race to die out. And if the white people are committing suicide through liberalism and by not having children, God doesn't care who takes over the planet as long as the planet has people on it. You could look at it that way. I'm actually a spiritual person in that regard, and I see things in a different eye than you might imagine. The question is, if it is a Muslim-dominated planet, what kind of planet will it be? Will it be modeled on moderate Islamic people, or will it be modeled on something fanatic, something along the lines of what we see going on in Afghanistan or in Iran? What kind of Muslim world will it be? Will it be a modern Muslim world? Will it be a world of tolerance where those of the Christian and Jewish and Buddhist and Hindu faiths will be tolerated? I doubt it. I doubt it because I see what goes on in India over Kashmir, or whatever the grievance may be. There's always a grievance, isn't there? There's always a problem. Wherever you look at crises on the planet, I think there are now 13 crises on the planet. In every case, it's a Muslim neighbor complaining that somebody's trying to take something from them. So I'm not that optimistic, and I think that the King hearings are only the beginning. I think they should be the it should be the first, not the last, and there is a real reason to have this discussion in the United States of America today. What's worse, though, is that you turn on Fox and there's no coverage of the hearings. We expect this from the left, but would you expect it from the center? No. Would you expect to be able to see the hearings today on C-SPAN? Yes. Did you? No. Why? Because Brian Lamb is part and parcel of the government media complex. I'll be right back.
Savage.
This is a big elephant in the room. Our society continues not to see it.
This wrong called political correctness, you can even call it political fear. It seemed to be to mean that Americans are sitting around doing nothing about extremists, radical extremists.
The father of the radicalized American Muslim, a son who went off to college, became a Muslim, went to the Middle East and became a murderer. And he said that Americans are sitting around not doing anything about radical extremists. It's a big elephant in the room. And he said it's the fear of stepping on a special minority's toes, even as a segment of that population wants to stamp out America and everything we stand for. Libya, we have worthless leadership in the United States of America. It's an embarrassment. UN, worthless. NATO, worthless. Nobody is doing anything. Civilians are being mowed down by jet fighters and tanks, and Hillary is absolutely showing herself to be the empty skirt that she absolutely is. It looks to me like we see that if the worst happens on the planet, the UN will do nothing and the U.S. will do nothing. Nothing. No military, no Navy, nothing. We have nothing. We have an Air Force. Where is it? They can't even conduct a no-fly zone. We have a Navy. Where is it? Nothing. Couldn't even take citizens off from Tripoli. They were busy conducting diversity training somewhere at a home port in San Diego, teaching them how to have babies in the commissary. It's unbelievable, okay, wherever you turn. And I'm not alone in this. I know other people who are rational, educated. Some even are self-described Democrats. I actually have met a few in my life. I hear about them anyway. They say they're terrified by Obama's lack of leadership. These are Democrats I'm hearing. Terrified by Obama's constant partying. Terrified by the government media complex. Terrified of a country they don't even recognize anymore. All because we put the imposter into the White House. Nobody's doing anything as Libya's set on fire. And who was it? Who set Libya on fire? Don't tell me it was a bunch of kids in dungarees with Facebook. Don't believe it for a minute. This is an orchestrated campaign. It was set afire by the administration, as sure as I'm sitting here. They fanned the flames of this, and now they won't even support the rebels. And by the way, what about Iran? How come there's been no talk about what your dear friend a new jihad is doing? How about a new jihad in Iran, the Hitler of our time? How come he's not getting any coverage of his murderous thugs in Iran? Chicago, Michael, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, yes, I agree. These hearings, they have to be televised. We should be watching them. You know, we need to bring out the facts about the radical Muslim left. You know, I've been recording your clips. Keep on playing them. I'll keep recording them. Mr. King is doing a fantastic job, and I think that we really need to take care of this problem right now.
I think Mr. King should be given a Nobel Prize. Of course, the Nobel Peace Prize is only given to those who don't conduct peace on the planet, but conduct the left-wing agenda, so we understand that. But I don't think he's doing it for the Peace Prize. King is doing it because he understands the danger America is in right now. The only question is, will these hearings be followed up with even more hearings about immigration, about who's actually preaching hatred in which mosques? Why can't we stop the preaching of death to America in mosques? Why can't the FBI do their job without being attacked by the ACLU? These are the really important questions. And I don't have to be a Muslim to say to you that I can venture a guess that most Muslims in America who want to be left alone to lead their lives, to educate their children, to earn a living, to pray as they wish and enjoy the religious freedoms of this nation, they salute these hearings. It's the radical left in America, the ACLU, the fellow travelers in the media who are attacking King and attacking the hearings. That would be my suspicion. Let's go to Albany, New York. Omar, welcome to the program. What do you think?
Dr. Savage, these hearings are excellent because for too long, people have been stating that Muslims are terrorists. Muslims are not terrorists. There's a segment of the population that's hijacking this religion and trying to have their own agenda. There's a narration, it's called the Hadith from our Prophet, peace be upon him. He said that if he had lived long enough to see these people slaughtering other Muslims, slaughtering other people for their own benefit, he himself would have got an army and slaughtered those people. The problem is that the Muslims in America, in overseas, in Africa, in the Middle East, they are the ones that should stand up first before non-Muslim stands up, because they're doing a great harm to myself.
Well, they're afraid. I don't blame them. They're killing innocent Muslims around the world. I've said this over and over again. I had a Moroccan acquaintance who told me how many Moroccans have been killed and how many Algerians have been killed over the years by the Al-Qaeda members there in their own country. The most Muslims in those countries basically want to be left alone. And then the radicals came along with that poison from the Wahhabi sect. And this Wahhabism is like a plague spreading through the Muslim communities.
No, the Wahhabi is not the enemy. The enemy is the Muslim Brotherhood. It's the Ikhwan. It's the books of Sayyid Qutb. They are the
ones. It's the Muslim Brotherhood. You mean the group that our director of national security said is a secular organization?
Exactly. The Muslim Brotherhood are Itna Ikna. They are here in the U.S. They are politics. They get involved in politics. Orthodox Muslims do not get involved in politics. They are the real enemies. If you read a book called Mao...
Omar, let me ask you something. In your mosque, have you had political statements made that you object to?
Well, by people not from our mosque, but people that came from Washington, D.C. and told us that we need to do this and we need to do that. No.
So you have outside, you have foreigners and outside agitators coming in to try to poison the flock.
No, they're locals. Those people are Americans, but you know they've been brainwashed by this ideology of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Do you think that these hearings will empower men like yourself to at least start talking about standing up to them?
Of course, because I have nothing to hide.
No, I mean, do you feel a little more powerful now in your willingness to stand up to this extremism?
Of course, and the Muslims have to. They have to be the first ones. Non-Muslims should not be the ones coming and cleaning up our house. We need to clean our house.
Wow. Well, I hope that people remember Omar's phone call just now, because it's a winner. It's a very important one, and it's what the communists and the media don't want you to hear. But on a day like today, when there's been a media blackout of the King hearings, which are probably the most important hearings in my lifetime, I really don't know of any others. I think it's certainly more important than Watergate. Watergate, big deal. Watergate, over and over again. Watergate, like it was some big rah, Watergate, big deal. No one died from Watergate, from the snooping. What was that about? Again, left-wing attacks on Nixon. That was a way to get Nixon out of power, Watergate. But now, because Obama's in power, you don't want to have any discussion of radical Islam in America, because, they're liable to say, well, his name is Hussein, and he's soft on Islam. You know what this is all about. So because of the media blackout, because I couldn't get any of this on the news, I turn on Fox, they're talking about the NFL. I listen to the presidents that are talking about the hearings. He's talking about bullying. I never heard anything like this. I feel as though I'm living in another universe. And I say, I know I'm not alone. I woke up this morning looking forward to these hearings. I wanted to hear both sides. And I think tomorrow we're going to hear even more. I pray to God that some of the folks in radio get the nerve to play these sound bites later tonight and tomorrow, because the more you hear from Muslims such as Omar, who just called, maybe you'll have some hope that not every Muslim walking around in America wants to, throw a bomb in your mother's house, as George Orwell said, because that's the truth. You've got to understand that most people are just like you. At the end of the day, no matter what color their skin is, I know I'm going to sound like a fifth grade teacher, but I have been a teacher. Most people at the end of the day are made of flesh and blood just like you. They have the same aspirations for themselves and their family just like you. And you've got to help the moderate Muslim have the courage to stand up to the poison that is coming into their mosques. And that will be my last word on this subject today. I'll be right back on your local affiliate. Don't go away.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Thank you. Well, today were the hearings on the radicalization of Muslims in America, and a jihad was conducted against the hearings and against Representative King before his jihad hearings even convened. One column after the other attacked Peter King, and Cliff Kincaid of Accuracy in Media did a little research on this. You're not going to believe this. After all, what is this about? This is about trying to find out why so many Muslims in America seem to be becoming radicalized and planning to kill and to maim. And the problem is everyone's afraid to say it, and everyone's afraid to talk about the 400-pound elephant in the room. Immediately he was attacked. They've called him the McCarthy of our time. And, of course, the verminous liberal press went into overdrive attacking him. For example, a whole slew of articles appeared before the hearings, ripping apart the hearings and President King. To show you the government media complex, hearings on Muslims trigger panic, January 24th. This is all from the Washington Post. February 16th, does public support Pete King's hearings into Muslims? Greg Sargent, February 16th. This is all in the Washington Post. Anxiety on all sides of upcoming House hearings on radicalization of Muslims. Michelle Boorstein, February 27th. March 6th, White House praises Muslims ahead of House hearing by Eileen Sullivan, Associated Press. Congressman King defends himself against criticism over hearings on radical Islam by Emil Kalawalwali, March 6th. Peter King admission undermines his own case for anti-Muslim hearings by Adam Sewer, March 7th. You get the picture. The singling out one faith affects them all, blah, blah, blah. So the fact of the matter is this is all from one newspaper. And what they leave out is the fact that the single largest terrorist attack on American soil that was conducted since 9/11 was the Fort Hood massacre conducted by a Muslim named Major Nidal Hassan, who has not yet gone to trial out of political fear on the part of the U.S. government and the U.S. Army. Also not covered in the hearings, which I will play today on the Savage Nation, is the vile anti-Semitic speech that Louis Farrakhan gave as near as a week ago, accusing the Jews of being Satan and saying he's got to slay Satan and his crowd of goons cheering him on. And I'm positive this should have been the opening to this. Instead, we got Representative Keith Ellison, who was a Muslim convert, breaking into tears over a Muslim he never met who died on 9/11. Why he would cry over only a Muslim who died on 9/11 is quite telling, by the way. Why would he cry over a first responder from 9/11 who he didn't even know? Why? Because he was a Muslim? Why didn't he cry about all the Christians and Jews who died and the Hindus and the Buddhists? So it shows you the ethnocentricity of this entire problem here. Nevertheless, that's the story today. And related to this is the media blackout of the King hearings. You can hardly find it anywhere. Instead, President Obama, the playboy, and First Lady Michelle Obama released a video and gave a press conference talking about preventing teen bullying. That's right. Teen bullying. Not about the bullying by America. Excuse me, not about the bullying of America by the Muslim front groups. That's the bullying I'm concerned about. Did you see the hearings today on C-SPAN? Not covered. Did you see it on ABC, CBS, NBC? No. Was it on CNN, MSNBC, or hardly on Fox News? Again and again, the left-wing media compared the King hearings to the McCarthy hearings of the 1950s. But you must remember, the McCarthy hearings were covered live on national TV. You see, even though the media was liberal in the 1950s, they realized they had a higher duty to patriotism, and they ran the McCarthy hearings then. But this generation of vermin in the media is so filled with lies that this crowd refuses even to cover the opposition by giving them a forum. So because C-SPAN has blacked out the hearings, because the cable networks, even the supposedly conservative Fox, refuse to air them, I, Michael Savage, will play a major portion of the King hearings today, which is what we have been doing. There are many other topics, but really there's nothing bigger. And don't forget Zudi Jasser, who is a Muslim himself, who is warning that political fear is stifling debate over radical Islam. It's very important. You can see more of what Mr. Jasser says on michaelsavage.com. On the right side, Michael Savage is celebrating his 69th birthday, and I need your help to continue my fight for freedom. Muslim Americans, not king, are the ones fermenting hysteria, says Stephen Emerson. Wisconsin Senate GOP votes to strip state workers of collective bargaining rights. And so forth and so on. 13 killed as Muslim mob attacks Christians in Egypt. Maybe they can't have any hearings there, but we can have them here. I can have a lot more to say on the show, believe me. And if you want to see the news of the day, go to michaelsavage.com, because on the bottom to the top, Starbucks sued over dangerous tip jar. I swear to God. Muslim TV executive sentenced to 25 years to life for beheading his wife. That didn't come up at the hearings. Ex-weapons inspector Scott Ritter, remember him? Remember Scott Ritter, who wanted to stop the invasion of Iraq? Set for trial for child sex thing. Third time in a row now, fourth. Moscow is now the billionaire capital of the world. And so forth and so on. A dehumanized America from an unhuman, dehumanized media. All this and more on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I want to go to my website right now. Report says too many whites and men are leading the military. The U.S. military is too white and too male at the top, and it needs to change recruiting and promotion policies and lift its ban on women in combat, the report says. So let me see if I understand this. If we had more women and more minorities, we'd have a better military? Why don't they just volunteer to join? I mean, it's an all-volunteer military, isn't it? So who's writing this kind of crappy report? On the right of my website, Michael Savage is celebrating his 69th birthday on March 31st. I need your support to continue my fight for freedom. Please read the... Okay, I'm not going to become Lenny Bruce here, read my legal problems on the air. Just read it, okay? And many of you who are donors to my fund are going to be receiving an email today or tomorrow about this campaign that I'm involved in. NPR executive says the Tea Party is scary and racist. White House official praises the Muslim Brotherhood leader. You're not going to believe this story, again from WorldNet Daily, who does a great work. While visiting a mosque in the Washington area, a senior White House security official, I don't know where they get these dunces from. Where did Obama find one moron after another? This dunce goes to a mosque and praises a Muslim cleric for his great work, who happens to be a top leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. Where did Obama find this schmuck? How does he find these people? And what's the schmuck's name? Deputy NSC Chief. And what is his name? Dennis McDonough. Goes to a mosque, and he prays with a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, and he praises this man. One FBI veteran regarding the White House says they are so ignorant, this is unbelievable. Nobody can believe this is going on. Now, I have a question. What have they got to hide? Why are they so afraid about Muslim radicalization and hearings about that? What are they afraid of? That's what I'd like to know. What is it that they've got to hide? If I were a Muslim in America, I'd be more terrified of the radicals than the average Christian or Jew should be, because they're actually more targeted by the radicals than are Christians and Jews, in case you don't know it. I would welcome these hearings if I were a moderate Muslim, but I don't hear any moderate Muslims except for one praising these hearings. And there is one Muslim, by the way, who is praising these hearings, but he's been buried in all of the lies being put out by Al Sharpton and the usual goon squad of leftists. What does Al Sharpton have to do all of a sudden with the Muslim problem? Why is he on the wrong side of this issue, I'd like to know? Answer, because Al Sharpton's on the wrong side of every issue, as I've noticed in his illustrious career of the last 40 years, whether it was egging on fire throwers at Freddie's Fashion Mart, or egging on Shawana Brawley and her false accusations against Detective Pagonis, if you remember that one. And I wish Peter King the best. I only wish that they give the entire committee hearing national coverage as they look into the radicalization of Muslims in the United States of America. Long overdue, thank God. But the story here is that a senior White House security official appointed by Barack Hussein Obama praised a Muslim cleric who happens to be a top leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. Muslims fear congressional hearings. My question is why? Why are they calling them bigots and racists for holding these hearings? Why are they comparing it to the McCarthy era? What is this all about? They're saying, stop using your anger that we have a black president to attack Muslims. Now, what kind of sign is that? Obamacare vital signs starting to fade. Bachman to decide by early summer on presidential bid. UK electricity CEO get used to not having any electricity. Did you hear that one? The biggest shocker coming out of England is this. Some girl who runs the health service over there said that any baby who's born before 23 weeks should be terminated and aborted automatically. They shouldn't be kept alive. Millions of dead anchovies float to surface at Redondo Beach. The picture is amazing. Enough anchovies to top much of the world's pizza and Caesar salads have floated lifelessly to the surface of Redondo Beach. I got to tell you something. As a lifetime conservationist, I don't have the answer to this. Why are these fish dying? Why are the anchovies dying? What's caused this? Could it be all of the medical waste that's being dumped into the water from all of the cities? All of the untreated medical wastes coming out of our hospitals? I don't know what's doing it. Do you? You can't blame global warming because there's no evidence that the oceans have warmed in that area. So these are some of the topics if you want to talk about them. Or 35% of all income in the United States, or actually all jobs, 35% of them, are given to people on either welfare or Social Security. How is this possible? How could one-third of all wages be handouts in the United States of America? New York, WOR, Donna, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Yes, hello. Not only is there a scandal of NPR's propaganda machine at taxpayers' expense, but it's the outrageously high salaries of their employees that we're paying for. I mean, salaries...
What are the salaries of NPR? Do you have them handy?
In front of me. The then-president NPR, Kevin Close, made $465,000. The Morning Edition host, Renee Montag, or whatever, $332,000.
What do these government hacks make in radio, for example? What kind of money do they pay these government hacks who don't have to work for a living? They have no advertisers. They don't have to satisfy advertisers. They just get up there and bloviate about left-wing causes. How much do they make in radio?
They're huge numbers. Managing editor Barbara Raim, $383,000. It's time
Wow.
that the market, they have to earn their money.
Now, if they open that position up to market value, how many out-of-work, excellent talk show people would apply for that job for $75,000 to $100,000 a year, maybe $100,000? Who could qualify at least $100,000?
Michael, we can't afford these salaries if they don't deserve it. I'm an artist.
No, I agree, but what are the Republicans doing about it? The check pants Republicans are acting just as I predicted they would, only a few of them are actually doing the job they were given the mandate to do. The rest of them are just like John Boehner, who I've called a pink tie. He turns my stomach, frankly. John Boehner is the biggest disgrace in the history of the Republican Party. He's Bob Dole. He's Bob Dole all over again. There he is with the pink tie, crying every other day, going along and getting along. That's exactly what we don't need in the Republican Party. We need attack dogs. We don't need lap dogs.
I totally agree with you, and thank you for all you do.
Well, I don't know. I do what I have to do here because I can't believe the state of the country. On another topic, Carrie in Sacramento, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Michael Savage, thank you very much for your participation in the American community, and I really appreciate everything you do. Just wanted to give you a little lowdown on the Redondo Beach Canyon down there. Actually, it's sardines that are floating in the harbor, and was only pushed up by the La Nina, so you can expect rooster fish in Sacramento.
But why are those millions of these sardines dying?
Well, what it is they were chased up by predatory fish like albacore, and
you mean that they, friendly little tuna fish in a can is actually a predator? Don't tell that to all the tuna eaters.
Oh no, the albacore is a heavy predator. It'll eat your.
And I thought it was a nice liberal fish because they're so friendly in those cans. They actually jump right in the can for everyone to have a tuna sandwich, don't they?
You know, and you're going to get the rooster fish. They come up. They came up out of the canyon, and they went 2 feet deep into the harbor because it comes out of the 6,000-foot canyon.
Oh, so you're saying they come out of the deep waters, and they chase the sardines up?
Yes, sir.
But the whole area is going to have a fetid aroma, aren't they? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to Las Vegas. Ben, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, I've been waiting. I've been on the Census Bureau site, and this is absolutely appalling. This one-third, I can't put a number yet on what one-third looks like, but I'm looking at the aggregate total of federal and state employees only. We're looking at $1.3 trillion is the payroll for federal and state and local authorities.
Oh, my God.
And that's just...
No, we understand we become a welfare state. Most federal jobs, a good percentage, I don't know what percent, are worthless. Useless jobs, they're make work, they're patronage positions. They don't do anything but create burdens for we the taxpayer. But when it came out today that in 1960, only 10% of wages were social welfare benefits. And then in the year 2000, social welfare benefits made up only 21%. And now under Obama, they make up a whopping 35% of wages and salaries. How can we afford this?
Saying that basically one third of the nation is supplying all the cash for the other two thirds?
No. One third of all wages in America, one third, 35% of wages and salaries this year go to payouts from the government, including Social Security, Medicare, and unemployment insurance. They make up a third of total wages and salaries in the United States. Now, where does that money come from is the issue. It comes from the taxpayers. That's what you're saying. But it's deceptive because it doesn't mean that two-thirds of the workers are supporting one-third. It doesn't mean that at all. It's more like the top 2% of earners pay more taxes than the other 90% of taxpayers. Did you know that?
Of course.
Well, it's called class warfare, something Hillary and Bill Clinton engaged in every day of their lives when they were in the presidency. You know that. And in many ways, that's all the left wing ever does. Thanks for the call.
Savage.
I talked about the Wisconsin Republicans stripping state workers of collective bargaining rights while the Democrats were still hiding out in another state, refusing to even show up and do their jobs. Joining us now is former Congressman Ernest Istook with his opinion on what's happening. Congressman, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. It's great to be with you once more. As someone who served in the state legislature as well as the Congress, I wonder what were those Democrat senators thinking when they stayed away for this time? Are they not smart enough to read the rules and know what kind of quorum it takes for this type of legislation and what kind of quorum it takes for that? Didn't they realize they still had a quorum, even without them, to change the law as it relates to collective bargaining for public employee unions? And if they didn't know that, I mean, that's pretty dumb for somebody holding public office not to know the rules and the consequences of being away, that they just took themselves out of the mix. It's kind of like, let's suppose that a football coach puts people on the field. He says, oh, I'm supposed to have 11 players? Oh, I thought it was only six.
Well, what were they thinking?
It's the mob mentality. Just like we've seen all these people descending upon the Wisconsin state capitol, organized by labor unions, not only there, but all across the country, and funded by them, and people coming in, not only from Wisconsin, but everywhere else. And by the way, I've been told there's $7 million worth of damage to the Wisconsin state capitol. But it's the mob thinking that we're not a democracy, we're not a republic, we're a mobocracy. And if they think that putting people in the streets, having anarchic-type behavior, will change the mix, you know, it's the Saul Alinsky school.
Exactly.
So people who think in those terms think that I'll just make a demonstration by staying away, and they'll feel so sad, so sorry for me, so apologetic. Oh, my goodness, we didn't mean to cut you out of things. We didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Please come back and play with us. It's the thinking that doesn't follow the rules. It doesn't understand how our government is supposed to work, how we have elections to decide things, not according to who can put the most bodies in the street. It's people who think totally different than those of us who have a commitment to the Democratic and Republican process. People who don't respect our system of government and instead want to be ruled by whatever the mob is pushing us in this way, whatever direction the mob is pushing us in right now. Does this remind you of the French Revolution?
Ha ha. Well, what's next?
Well, maybe what they really hope for is that people don't reach an agreement in Washington, D.C., so that a number of public employees aren't reporting for work and they can report to the demonstrations instead. maybe that's their strategy. Governor Walker has shown a lot of courage. He's been a stand-up guy in this, and he gave people lots of rope with which to hang themselves, and they did, figuratively speaking, of course. So I think that Governor Walker has shown not just resolve, but a commitment to the rule of law, which is exemplary in this case. He's following the normal order of things. We have elections. People who have been elected to office then take votes and make decisions accordingly. He is a respecter of the rule of law, whereas the people who fled are not respecters of the rule of law.
Well, where do you think it goes from here?
Oh, I think that the public employee unions are going to double down. They're going to try to tell lawmakers in places like Ohio, for example, to say, wait a minute, don't you want to kind of wait and see how this turns out in Wisconsin before you may enact similar legislation in your state to bring public employee unions under control so that government is not beholden to the labor unions and the labor unions are not beholden to a certain crop of politicians. I think they're going to try to encourage people to hold back on enacting this legislation in other states lest they get a repeat of the mobs that we have seen in Wisconsin. So I think that's one of the first things you're going to have happen. And that would be a victory for mobocracy if people in other places said, we better not do something, even though we think it's the right thing, because the public employee unions will turn thousands of workers out to protest against us. But, you know, the American people realize that the best paid people in the country, in general, tend to be those who work for government rather than those who work in the private sector. And the general public is getting tired of that. And then to have those people say, you cannot cut back on the extravagant benefits and salaries that some of us receive, you can't do that or we'll hit the streets and protest against you. I think that even though they're getting sympathy from some people in the public, I think they're going to wear out their welcome.
What can we expect to see in the next few years?
Well, I would like to see it where if tens of thousands of people in Wisconsin or someplace else get together, it's for a football game, not for a protest against the rule of law. I'd like to think we're going in that direction. But frankly, the hold that public worker unions have on too many state governments is so strong and so pronounced and so tenacious that I don't think we've reached the end of this yet. I think they are going to double down, as I said, and try to repeat this strategy and try to make sure that they hold big demonstrations in other states, basically saying that we can march on you like we did on the Wisconsin state capitol. And I really want to hear more about this damage that I've heard about. Somebody said it's like $6 million worth of damage to the marble inside the Capitol building and about $1 million of damage to the lawns there. I mean, we try to make places like the national capital and state capitals, we try to make them nicer than most buildings for a reason. It's because they're supposed to be symbols of democracy, symbols of the people's ability to govern themselves. And to have those symbols desecrated by special interest ought to gall every red-blooded American.
Hmm. What can we the people do?
Well, to get the media's attention, sometimes you've got to have the people in the street yourself at things like Tea Party rallies. But you've got to be orderly. You've got to be respectful. You've got to demonstrate the kind of behavior that you wish you saw from other people. For example, some of the big marches in Washington, D.C., you know, when we had this rally to restore so many things in America, that was the best behaved huge crowd I have ever seen in my life. And we need to make sure that that contrast is obvious, where nobody can miss it. That we who believe in the system of government by laws, of the rule of law, we are respectful individuals, respecting not only each other, but the rights of people with whom we disagree. I think demonstrating proper behavior is an important part of this, not just saying we want to win votes, but we're showing you how people ought to behave in, among a country that governs itself, where the people govern themselves.
In your mind, how much of this debacle reflects on the Obama administration and its policies?
Do you ever wonder where do these professional agitators get their money? So they always seem to show up when there's a protest such as there is in Wisconsin. The answer too often is that they get the money from the government. The Obama administration is certainly channeling money to its friends. And, of course, the people that are protesting are people who are dependent upon government paychecks for a living. So I think that we have to help people understand that this is about government money going to fund protest groups, and we've got far too much money that goes out of the public treasury to fund liberal causes. I mean, why do we have such a debate over National Public Radio?
Exactly.
Because we know that they and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting receive somewhere in the range of $450 million a year of taxpayers' money, and they're not doing it to report the news impartially. In another country, if government is providing broadcasting, we call it propaganda. In the USA, if government is providing broadcasting, we call it National Public Radio.
Where can we read more?
I've got a lot of things at the Heritage Foundation's website, heritage.org. There's a blog that you link to on there. And I've got different things that I write that show up at Newsmax and Daily Caller, big government human events. And, you know, I even, just to keep my finger on other pulses, I even post things at Huffington Post.
Congressman Istook, thanks again for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's always great to be on with you. I look forward to doing it again.
I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Let me do this for my own sake. I started reading about the puppet masters in my chapter, Nightmare on Wall Street, and the most important part of that chapter should not be forgotten, and that is that $10 trillion of America's assets disappeared in 2008. And what I wrote was there was an agenda lurking behind the shadowy dealings. Is it a coincidence that this happened right before the presidential election? And I say hardly. Where did those dollars go? They didn't disappear. How many times have I told you that the dollars didn't disappear? They ended up in the hands of a relatively small number of people and companies whose purpose was far more nefarious than merely making profits. The raiders who trashed our markets sought nothing less than to use the control they had gained over our financial system to put a wet-behind-the-ears leftist president in office. Moreover, they leveraged that power to create a government run on socialist principles, but controlled by a small group of wealthy investors who dictate policy to the puppet president they elected. In effect, they pushed us further along the path to a socialist oligarchy. That's a paragraph from Trickle Up Poverty. I am telling you, it's true. I verify it with facts. And I name some of the puppet masters. In my opinion, the Managed Funds Association, a group of hedge funds investors with whom Soros is affiliated, lobbied SEC Chairman Christopher Cox to have the rules changed. Now, remember, Christopher Cox was a Republican. And why did they do it? They did this to engineer a raid on U.S. markets to trigger a financial crisis that they foresaw could turn the election in favor of their 08 candidate, Barack Obama. This time, the strategy worked. So they allegedly manipulated the marketplace. And I say those who manipulated the marketplace are free. And some of them did so, and they're now denying they did so. But I said there were hundreds and hundreds of minor players involved in this fraud as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, there are very powerful interests behind this. And, of course, they're going to disparage me. I know for a fact that right now they're buying bloggers to go online and put down Michael Savage and put down the book. They are threatened by this coming out. It's not just rhetoric that I have. There are facts in it. Many of you don't want to read the book. So let me go on. Let me talk about the uptick rule that was eliminated under the last administration, and the uptick rule that was eliminated by Obama, and who did it and why they did it. During Christopher Cox's term at the SEC, the uptick rule in the stock market was eliminated on July 6, 2007. The rule initially adopted in 1938, this is so important for you to hear, 1938 was one of the primary reasons we were able to recover from the Great Depression. This uptick rule limited short sales to stocks whose last trade was higher than the previous one. The uptick rule meant that traders who sell short could not cause the market price of a stock to drop continuously at a precipitous rate. Once the rule was removed, and it was removed in 07, naked short selling was enabled, and the circumstances were ripe for a raid, such as the one that occurred in 2008. This is in the chapter called The Puppet Masters, or Nightmare on Wall Street. Let me read you another paragraph. I know it's hard for many people to listen to this. Mark-to-market accounting standards were implemented on November 15, 2007. And look, I'm not going to read it to you because when you read it, it's hard for people to follow it. I know radio as well as anybody who's ever done radio, and I can tell when you don't want to follow it anymore. All you got to know is I have the facts in here, and that's why they're trashing the book. They don't want you to understand what went on. They don't want you to see this, and they don't want you to judge for yourself. If it was just a book, hawking a book and putting down the president, I really wouldn't be going on and on about it. Everything is at stake, okay? You think that that market crash occurred by accident? You're mistaken. The situation is exacerbated by Mary Shapiro, who replaced Christopher Cox when he resigned from the chairmanship of the SEC in 2009. Shapiro, along with Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, has long been a supporter of mark-to-market accounting practices. Investors in the stock market fear the potential for the same risks that severely damaged the market in 08 and are reluctant to get back into the market as fully as they might. Banks are reluctant to assume the risk of lending to businesses, especially small businesses, because of the risk that Shapiro will reinstitute some form of mark-to-market rules for banks and other financial firms, again causing them to mark down their assets and precipitating another liquidity crisis like that of 08. The result was what appeared to be an economic stalemate until early May of 2010. Are you listening to this? Here it comes. On the afternoon of May 6th, the Dow Jones Industrial Average plummeted 998.5 points in a matter of minutes, the largest intraday drop in the history of the Dow. As usual, commentators and analysts missed the mark completely when trying to unravel what had happened. Some speculated that a trader had mistakenly added too many zeros to the number of shares he was selling and triggered the fall. Others blamed the Greek debt crisis and the underlying weakness in the euro and the EU's approach to the financial woes. Still others blamed the rise in electronic trading for causing the drop. While there was certainly some validity in the last two, in fact, the immediate trigger of the sudden sell-off in May of 2010 was very likely a raid by short sellers on the stock market. Are you listening to me? Disclosed in trickle-up poverty. Now you know why it's being disparaged all over the web by those who don't want you to get the truth. First of all, the precipitous drop occurred shortly after 2:30 in the afternoon. That should have been a clue to those trying to figure out what had happened. As Nelson D. Schwartz and Louise Story explain, well, I can't read everything in this book. Do you understand I'm excited right now? I go to this point. That in itself points the finger directly at short sellers. In fact, the May 6th drop was quite possibly the work of hedge fund traders raiding the market with the intent to send the message that they could still do whatever they wanted, despite the fact that only days earlier, a new, quote, alternative uptick rule had been put in place. They demonstrated clearly that the new rule had no teeth whatsoever, that traders who staged the raid were free to do what they would do for the remainder of the afternoon. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's the hedge fund traders who are controlling the economy right now, and they've got the politicians on strings. And I say to you this, this is as un-American on the face of it. This is un-American on the face of it. What has occurred over the past several years is a power grab of epic proportions, and no one in Congress is even close to understanding what happened and what a dangerous position we're in. From a high of more than 14,000 October 07, the Dow Jones average had lost nearly half of its value by the time of the 08 election. Much of the lost money went into the pockets of the hedge fund raiders, who, thanks to changes permitted by the SEC, were able to sell short with no limits, further driving down asset values. SEC's giving in to those lobbying on behalf of the MFA cost millions of average Americans invested in the stock market and in money market funds through their 401k plans as much as half the value of the assets they had planned to retire on. The raid made Bernie Madoff look like a piker. By the way, SEC also looked the other way where Madoff was concerned. Page 87. By the time John McCain correctly called for Cox's resignation as part of his bumbling response to the financial meltdown that cost him the election, it was already too late. In his response to McCain, Cox disingenuously said, quote, "We have no tolerance for naked short selling, close quote. Despite the fact that under his leadership, that's precisely what the SEC enabled, reference number 8. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you think this is just hype, if you think it's just a book with empty pages in it, if you think it's just another puff book with a talk show looking to sell a book and get rich quick, I welcome you to read this book and refute it. You want to go and listen to the junkie on HBO who smokes dope every night on Sunset Boulevard in one cheap... Listen, there's so much I could say right now. You want to listen to these facile lunatics on television who think they're so smart because they read words written for them by comedy writers? Go ahead, listen to them if you want. Or if you want to read the facts and you want to challenge these shysters, go ahead. It's all in my book.
Savage.